Hey, this is Max from the Arkells, and you're listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
Going on, everybody. We are live with Underground Sports Philadelphia, episode number 106. Kyle Bennett, Matt Castorina here in studio. Before we get started, got to give a shout out to our sponsors: Main Auto LLC, Huffman Farms and Greenhouses, Ducharme's Pro Foot, Security 21. We're getting feedback. Wainwright Bernhardt Funeral Home and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated. What's going on, Matt?
Not much, you know, just hanging out, Valentine's Eve, you know.
Gotta love it. Joel Embiid getting the league office $25,000 just a couple
hours
ago.
The charities, I believe. I'm pretty sure it goes to NBA charities. You know, it's the season of love, I guess. After tonight, I think we're right into the All-Star break, so he just wanted to send off with a nice little paycheck to one of the NBA's various charities, and good for him.
If you don't know what we're talking about, here's what Joel had to say after last night's Celtics game, which we'll get into.
I'm an idiot. Should have kicked it out or take it out or shoot it. I didn't think about the situation and us not having the timeout. I thought we had one, and then as soon as I shot it, I looked and I was like, I'm stupid. Like I said, that's on me. I need to do a better job.
Thanks, guys.
And do right for you, suck.
And then he walked off.
I mean, he'd like to say he's wrong, but he's not.
He's definitely not wrong.
I like that he was self-aware in the beginning part, though, about his mistakes. Like, he's had a fantastic season. He's played at really an MVP level for pretty much all of it, and he's had big games, big moments. It's still good, though, to see that he's, you know, willing to be critical of himself, and that's like the hallmark, I think, of a really great player. So it's good to hear that he understands that. Yeah, I didn't like the end play. It's rare that I like one of our drawn up plays, you know, late game situations, either to win it or to tie.
Yeah.
I feel like those are rarely very good. As far as like the foul goes, I think it was a foul on him. I think that's abundantly clear. I mean, we've seen it now in still images and slowed down, and any way you look at it, I think that was a foul. But I don't know. It was a bit of a chaotic game. I think that's probably the tagline I would go for. But
yeah, and it's another game where Ben doesn't play that well. Although I think he's played he played better last night than he has in Celtics games past. Joel did not get off to the best start, and took 8 threes.
Yeah, Al Horford just neuters Joel Embiid, and that first half was rough. If it wasn't for he had a really hot streak in like the fourth quarter, where I think he scored like 7 or 8 points like pretty quickly. Like I'd say, I want to say around 2 minutes. It would have been a really bad stat line from him last night. And again, I mean, dude, it's just something about Al Horford just gets to Embiid every time, and it's a worrying trend. Especially considering right now, as things stand, we'd be playing Boston in the first round. And I don't particularly love the prospect of a 7-game series with them, even with home court advantage, because it doesn't seem to matter. They also didn't have Kyrie last night. And mind you, this Celtics team just blew 2 20-point leads over the weekend to the Clippers and the Lakers. That's not great. The Clippers, who are not actively tanking, but are, you know, obviously got rid of their best player to us, and are happy to lose games. You know, they're not playing for really much. And the Lakers, who we slapped pretty handedly on Sunday, which we can't even really be happy about, because I think this loss hurts more than the last Boston loss.
Yeah.
I mean,
which
it's just
is what, Christmas?
Yeah, Christmas Day. I think I'll say this, the positives. I feel like we performed generally good in the Christmas Day game and last night's game, generally speaking. I thought, you know, it's not like we got blown out. It wasn't like opening night where fourth quarter was a wash, essentially. Yeah. Especially Christmas Day, you know, it goes to overtime, but I think we absolutely collapsed at the end. Mm-hmm. Like, just mental. That was the worst loss to me, simply because that reminded me so much of how mentally fragile we looked in the playoffs last year. Last night seemed more like execution from the personnel and from coaching last night. If I had to put the loss on anything, you can't have Jimmy Butler, our quote-unquote closer, missing 2 out of 3 free throws.
That was brutal.
Like, that was terrible. That could have tied the game.
Ben goes 2 of 7 from the line.
Ben going 2 of 7 isn't like a shock, but yeah, I mean, even if he's just going average.
And we've talked about it before, though. Like, if he's not going to, you know, be the shooter and start taking shots, although, you know.
He did shoot a three. He shot a three more recently
than Jason Tatum.
That's true.
He's got to, you know, work on his free throws, because that's what his game's going to be. That's going to be one of his, you know, skill sets in his game, driving the lane, you know, and just getting underneath the basket and then drawing fouls. And if you're going to get to the line, you got to make those shots if you're Ben Simmons. And last night he goes 2 of 7. Like you said, Jimmy misses the 2 shots when he had 3 attempts. And
those were the ones actually where, like, I stayed up to watch the full game just because, you know, like, normally I just can't, but last night I was like, I'm pushing through a big game, staying up, and then, like, at halftime it was close, so I was like, I'm definitely staying up for this. I, like, switched it from the TV to my iPad, so I was, like, laying in bed, and I saw him miss his free throws, and I just rolled over, and I was like, I just listened to the audio from there out, and then I closed it when Marcus Smart dunked with, like, what, like, 29 seconds, so I was like, we're not coming back from this, but it's just it's a frustrating loss more than anything, because I think everyone was on a real high. You know, we trade for Tobias, and I think everyone's pretty excited about that, jazzed up, and beat Denver, beat the Lakers, like two really, like, good wins. And 2 wins, I think, made a lot of people happy. That Lakers win was huge, because, again, we just slapped up LeBron. He left, like, immediately. 2.6
seconds before the game was even over.
Yeah, and you know, you had, like, just a lot of, like, talking points on the game. You had Ben attempting a three. You had Joel with just an insane stat line. And Knight, there's a lot to be happy about. And then I think, you know, I texted our good friend Ryan. And I said, you know, like, it feels great to beat the Lakers, but I just know we're just going to get floored by Boston on Tuesday. And that's what happened. And it just sucks, man. It just sucks not being able to beat them. I think it's partly mental now, too. I mean, Embiid already came out and said that he doesn't consider it a rivalry because they always beat our ass. And it's true. Like,
and that was early this season.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. So, you know, like, I think there is something mental now, too, with this team. I think they are probably in these guys' heads just even a little bit. So there's a lot of there's a lot to overcome. I think the negatives from this game is Brett Brown has shown that he can be, I don't know if it's stubbornness or incompetence. And I don't mean incompetence in that I think Brett Brown is an incompetent coach. I just mean in that he's not being as aware as he could be, or as tactically sound as he could be.
And he admitted that last night, too. Yeah.
I think he was a little naive last night, if I'm being honest. Personally, like, I'm fine with us tinkering with our new pieces. I think that's necessary.
Yep.
I don't think the game to do that is Boston.
No.
Boban is literally just TJ McConnell, but 7'4". He's not very good, but everyone loves him, and the crowd gets a big spark out of him. And he's, like, kind of an energy guy. He gets, you know, he's just because of his height and size, he gets rebounds really well. He had that one really good move on Horford, but it wasn't really even a move. He just turns and shoots over him. But again, like, he's like TJ in that in matchups of real, like, wait, he's really not the option.
Yeah.
And Al Horford is someone that is fine with a bigger dude. He was manhandling Embiid all night. Well, how is Boban any different in that he's slower and less of an athlete? I don't know why Bolden didn't get more looks in that way.
Did he even play last night?
I don't believe he did.
I saw him in the sweatsuit.
I don't think Ennis even got burned last night.
Yeah, Ennis didn't play. They said they were saving him for tonight for whatever reason.
I'm guessing because, yeah, Jonah didn't play at all last night, which is perplexing to me, yeah. Truthfully.
You would think, like, a game like tonight against the Knicks, you would play Boban. You play Bolden against the Celtics to, one, see what you have in Jonah Bolden now with this new rotation.
Against the playoff team, you know? Yeah,
against, like, the playoff team.
I don't know. So that's confusing to me. The last play of the game, I just hated. It seemed like the play got broken, actually, though. Mm-hmm. It seemed like they had something in mind. Tobias got picked up on the perimeter, and
he missed JJ.
JJ gets, like, double-teamed, mm-hmm. passes out of it, and it just seemed like there was some sort of lack of communication, which, you know, like, I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt to a team that's just added another new piece. And I think it's a fair caveat to, implore on the Brett Brown sort of discussion is that he has had to revamp the team twice, albeit this second time, I'd say less significantly, because he's really only adding Tobias that he has to think about. But, you know, that is still something that he's going to have to work through, and we're going to have to be a little patient. I'm sort of in between, like, I'm not quite freaking out about this loss. I'm also not like, well, whatever. You know, it's regular season loss. I'm somewhere in the middle of, I think this sucks, and I hate losing to Boston. Like, outside of everything else, too, like, I hate Boston. Mm-hmm. I love beating any Boston team in any sport.
Yep.
And we have a very real rivalry with them. This is a team we're going to be competing with the next 5 years,
if not more.
Just given, like, our rosters and even our coaches are young, like, it feels good to beat them. And it sucks that they didn't have Kyrie and they beat us at home still, despite us adding, you know, these new additions, these new pieces that are supposed to make us, you know, favorites to come out of the East, depending on who you ask. I don't know. You know, and at this point, too, we have to, you know, I was going to say this win or lose against Boston, but we have to treat every game now, I think, like a playoff game, mm-hmm. because we need this third seed, especially now, desperately.
Yeah.
Because I really do think it could be an absolute disaster if we get Boston in the first round and we get knocked down the first round. You are talking like, I'm being genuine. I'm really not trying to be hyperbolic, and I've thought about this for more than like 18 hours. I'm saying that could be franchise altering if we lose to Boston in the first round. Mm-hmm. I think we can make some very bad mistakes this summer because of that happening. I'm not, and that's just me thinking that. It's not, I'm saying it's certain, but that will not be a good look. And I'm worried about that. But being honest, I just don't trust us to beat Boston in a 7-game series right now. And I don't know how anyone could either.
There's no track record.
I think it's fine to be like a positive about this team and say, oh, you know, like, we'll move on. And that's fine. That's a fine attitude. And I don't want to tell like other fans how to feel about, you know, the Sixers or the Flyers, whoever. But I think you can feel that way. And then there's the truth. And the truth is we cannot beat this Boston team. We have shown no ability to beat this Boston team. They smoked us in the playoffs when everyone had us as favorites before that series. People were saying we were going to sweep them and that we could go to the finals. That was a thing. I remember it. People forget, but I remember it because I got swept up in it too. And we got smoked in that series, and we have just not been able to hang with them at all, pretty much on any level. And now it's growing into this, again, it's this mental thing that Embiid has already mentioned that, you know, he's clearly aware of it. Like, we act like these players don't have Twitter and aren't aware of these things and what's said about them. Ben literally engaged with a Celtics troll this summer. Like, you know, like, these things matter. And again, like, anytime you're playing Boston, I think it matters. You want to beat these guys. I hated that Gordon Hayward, like, went off last night. Like, if it wasn't for him, we'd probably win this game.
He literally didn't miss a single shot.
Of course, you know, like, he's been trash all season, and he comes live in the fourth quarter, but I guess that's why they're paying him all that money, you know? I don't know. I think it's a rough loss. It sucks. But I guess the best medicine is that we have the Knicks tonight.
Yeah.
And realistically, that should be a win. And it better be, because actually I put a parlay on tonight. I bet on the Sixers and the Warriors to win. So I'm actually, like, more emotionally dependent than normal about the Sixers.
And, you know, this loss, what gets swept underneath the rug is, you know, somebody reaches out to Magic Johnson.
Oh, my God.
And because Magic and the Lakers swing and miss heavily on Anthony Davis at the deadline, they're like, oh, yeah, let's just go put this out in the media to have something to talk about.
Yeah, so I don't know what... Listen, we're getting two different stories about what happened here, and the one about the Sixers reaching out to Magic to put out a feeler about Ben makes zero sense to me. That makes no sense.
From what I heard, it was Ben Simmons' brother.
Yeah, who's also like his shooting coach, and there's a whole thing about that. We could probably do one podcast
We need a new shooting coach, Ben.
Yeah. Yes, listen, here's my opinion on this, so... If you're unaware, I guess, of the situation, Magic Johnson, Hall of Fame player, great player, one of the greatest of all time, very similar to Ben Simmons. Both tall guys that could just unreal athletes that could, you know, didn't have the greatest of shooting, but again, could just run the point. And, you know, like Magic played like center famously in the finals. Like, he's a guy very similar to Ben, very similar play style. So if there was someone you would hypothetically want him to learn from, it is Magic Johnson. Like, that is, they are like one in the same, at least build wise and how they play. But the largest issue is that Magic Johnson just happens to be the president of another basketball team and a rival basketball team. And one that is also, you know, pretty heavy in the tampering. He's already been fined for his Paul George comments. He was on thin ice with the whole Anthony Davis thing.
Got fined for that.
Yeah, he got fined for that.
Essentially.
Like, he's someone that, again, like, you don't really want involved with a player that's on your team, like having a one-on-one with them. I don't know. It seemed like, so I'm not necessarily against Ben talking to Magic Johnson, right? Like, I'm not against him learning from, again, one of the best players
because
of all time.
They also came out with a list that there were multiple people that he's reached out to.
Which happens a lot. I mean, Kareem, like, still does camps, I believe. Like, we know, we heard a million times about Jason Tatum with Kobe this summer, as if we care. You know, it's not uncommon, though. Like,
no.
You know, to see, again, like, Hall of Fame players, like, you know, teaching, you know, the next generation, you know, their skills. And the issue lies in that, like I just said, Magic is the president and an executive of another team. And you just can't have
a team that employs LeBron James, who Ben Simmons and LeBron are under the same agency.
And, you know, you have the whole LeBron with the King Fresh Prince stuff with Ben, and, like, they have this weird relationship where it's like he's his mentor and all this. And, again, that's fine. Cool. But any one of those things would be fine if it was just that thing. But when they're all
together
aligned, like, I think you're being a little naive if you're like, that doesn't worry me, or that's not sketchy. You know, like, I don't like it. I'm glad that the NBA league office intervened smartly, and apparently they found Magic Johnson to do no wrongdoing. Whatever. I'm willing to believe them because I think they have it out for Magic Johnson. Yeah. Wouldn't mind giving him another fine, but I don't know. I didn't like the situation.
No.
I didn't like Magic Johnson bring it up apparently a month after it happened, as we're going
especially
to nationally.
Magic comes across the country to talk to his team about, you know, sticking together. And
yeah, I don't
that
know.
That nonsense because, was, you know, they tried to trade the entire roster.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. I don't know how many times we've said that about the Sixers in the past 10 months.
Plus then, sure it is meaningless in a sense, but then LeBron goes and trades for Ben during the All-Star draft. So
I think that was just to get Westbrook and Embiid on the same team.
Definitely.
I do think that was the ultimate purpose. But yeah, I mean, again, you know, you're just adding another another reason to be a little weirded out by all that stuff. I don't know. Makes me uncomfortable, but
yeah,
we'll see. I don't know. I think with the Sixers, it's just you just got to be patient and, you know, again, hopefully we go out tonight, slap the Knicks up. I think that'll make everyone feel a little bit better. And I don't know. I mean, I'm still pretty bummed out about the loss, if I'm being honest. But
yeah,
I think we'll move on. We get another crack at them in like mid-March. So hopefully by then, team's a little more integrated. Kyra will probably be back healthy for them, and that game will probably have a lot of importance, you know, if you're talking playoff seeding. So the goals now for the Sixers: push for the 3 seed, try and get a favorable matchup in the first round, get home court advantage as much as you can. I would honestly think I'd rather take my chances with the Raptors right now, who can't stay healthy, than the Celtics. You look at the Raptors, and it's not a great matchup either, but I don't trust us to beat the Celtics at all. Raptors like at least have the chance of, again, they've been dealing with injuries all year, absolutely plagued. It's not like their star players are the faces of health and longevity. Fred VanVleet is out again.
For 5 weeks now.
5 weeks.
Rather than the initial 2 to 4, I believe it was.
Kawhi is, you know, he has still that quad issue that maybe flares up at any time. Marcus Gasol, he's an old soul, you know. Who knows what happens with him. He could get injured as well. So, I don't know. I think I'd rather take my chances at this point with Toronto than the Celtics.
Yeah, especially since Toronto got less deep from that trade.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely another aspect to it. So, big thing is, you know, push for 3 seed, see what's on the buyout market now. Jeremy Lin's going to Toronto, which is just great. I love that. That's awesome. Would have loved Jeremy Lin here, but I think he's going to have probably a better role in Toronto. And
he'll get some starting minutes now that Fred's out. And that'll be interesting to kind of monitor. It sucks that, you know, the way the Sixers – not that it sucks, but the way the Sixers went about – the trade deadline, it was kind of the reverse of last year, where the buyout market is not the best option because we don't have those prime minutes for guys looking for their next contract now.
I think we still do. I think those, like, I think the reason we lost out on a lot of these guys is, outside of Toronto, I think, like, Matthews going to Indiana is, like, about him getting a starting role. I think he probably would have been fine in Philly, like, coming off the bench. Like, if Indiana wasn't still in a very good playoff position, and if he didn't feel that he could increase his value more. And I think kind of the same with Wayne Ellington, honestly, like, that's the only one I feel like, how are we not convincing that guy that
especially
there's time
he's,
here?
You know, hashtag from here.
Yeah, like, I don't know how we're not, I don't know, you know, obviously we're not privy to any conversations with him, but I feel like that was the big miss, and someone that really could have helped us, and I don't know how you don't convince him of that, but hey, you know, that's not my job. My job is just to watch the team and talk about
it. For everybody watching on the Facebook Live, we are back up and running. Not sure what happened, but still talking a little Sixers. How did you feel about Jonathan Simmons last night?
I mean, I felt like Jonathan Simmons' role in this team is going to be a defensive stopper. Offensively, he's not someone that's going to be of much use, which brings into question what use he's going to really bring in the playoffs. I thought...
He did hit a three last night.
He did hit a three. Not someone you can really count on to do that, like, regularly. Mm-hmm. I think... Like, my concern last night is that JJ just gets abused defensively late game against the Celtics. And I don't know how you stop that, because we don't have an ideal guy that is a little maybe more athletic and, you know, defensive forward. The problem with the Celtics is we just match up terribly with them, and Embiid plays awfully against them. Ben typically doesn't play that well. I thought Ben had a great, like, 3.5 quarters on Christmas Day against them, but then that was the worst stretch I've seen from him in that overtime. That was awful. So I don't know. Like, it's just, I think we just match up terribly with this team, and that's, you know, that happens in basketball.
Now, here's my take, too. I was talking to a couple people about this, and I heard Mike Levin bring it up, too, right before the deadline ended. I really think this front office is relying on Zaire Smith to be back this year.
It certainly seems. I mean, we've now have in our hands the shooting videos. Those are back, and everyone's analyzing someone's jump shot on iPhone footage. Because you know what I love about whenever there's shooting footage like out from someone like of them like working out, just taking some jump shots, is all of a sudden everyone is a NBA shot mechanics master. And is saying, well, it's a little lower. His release is a little lower to me, actually. Come on, man. What are we doing here?
And here's my other side of this take, too, is that they're not going to really rely on Zaire's offense when he comes back, if he comes back.
Yeah.
Because now you
I think
have,
he will come back, by the way.
Now you have this group of five, and you could have Zaire out there with 4 of the 5 and just have him strictly play defense. You don't necessarily need him to be an offensive guy when he's out there with Embiid, Simmons, Tobias, and Jimmy JJ. Butler yeah, or JJ, Jimmy, yeah. Either way. Just have him, you know, defend point guards, defend guards like we need.
Yeah.
And let the other four take care of the offense.
Yeah. I think that's a good observation by you. I think he will be back this year. I think all the noise we're hearing is that you know, it's not like he's still suffering from injury. It was mainly just getting back into, you know, playing shape and being like athletically ready to play again. So I think we will see him back, and all the signs seem to point to him working his way forward. So we'll hope so. I think he could be a difference maker, though, absolutely, because you're talking about a guy again that was a first round pick, a lottery pick for a lot of people, and I think he could be a valuable piece to add. I mean, it's not often you get to add someone of that, like a prospect of that quality, I should say, this late into the season. You know, like, it's essentially going to be like if we, you know,
a got some,
yeah, like he's a buyout sort of in of itself. So yeah, hopefully he's back. Hopefully he can make a difference. You know, like my mind now is just on the Knicks, and hopefully we'll have a fun All-Star weekend. You know, no one gets hurt or anything. Knocking on wood as I say that. That's what my focus is on at this point. So
we're trying it again on Facebook.
It's yeah.
The second time we cut out, but yeah, and we should beat the Knicks tonight. And speaking of the Knicks, Enes Kanter signs with Portland today.
That's not bad for Portland.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the Knicks are a joke to me. And you know what's? I saw this, and I've seen other people say this, and it burned me up too. Is the double standard that we're seeing with how the Knicks are treated when mm-hmm. they're like just an abominable team, clearly tanking, and all the media like from ESPN about them is, oh, well, there's next year, you know, when they could have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and Zion on the team. We never got that kind of love when we were tanking.
Nope.
And by the way, we were hardly ever the worst team in the NBA. There were teams that were purposely losing. We were purposely losing,
yeah.
And there were still teams that were finishing below us every year because they were that incompetent. I actually had a fun Lakers rant. I forgot to include in the Magic talk. The Lakers are a second-rate franchise and are fastly becoming the lowest-level LA team. The Clippers have been way better than them this entire decade, and that's not even debatable. Lakers have been out of the playoffs for, I can't even remember how long now, what, 7 years?
Easy.
Third joke, LeBron is wasting his last prime or prime 2 years there. They have a poo-poo platter of assets that are not really that good. Kyle Kuzma's okay. He went off on us Sunday, mm-hmm. but still got slapped. They're not a good team. They're not a good organization. I think they have rushed their every decision. I think they look like absolute buffoons because of the AD thing. I will laugh if he goes to the Clippers. Or if he goes literally anywhere else that isn't Boston. Wouldn't mind him on the Knicks, personally. I think that'd be hilarious, too. I don't get the Lakers' love. I don't get the Lakers' hype. I can't wait for them to miss the playoffs this year. LeBron has really soured himself in my eyes. I used to love LeBron.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask you. You're a LeBron.
When the Sixers were terrible, like, I just watched LeBron play. Because, like, let's be honest, as fun as Tony Roten, like with 7 turnovers a game was when we were winning like 14 games a year, I liked watching winning basketball too. LeBron, yeah, like LeBron was my guy for the longest time. Even like especially when he was on the Heat too, like mm-hmm. he was someone that was really vilified by a lot of people. But
that's when I grew to hate LeBron. Was when he left.
But now I'm on like I'm switching. Like
welcome aboard,
dude. I think he sucks, dude. Like. I think he's a manipulator.
Yep.
And I think it's hilarious that it's all blowing up in his face. And I don't see a path where they even become a contender soon. I don't even get that the boner for trading for Anthony Davis, man. Because the proposed trade meant you were trading literally your entire starting five away besides you. I don't get it. I just don't. I will never. And I said this when he made the decision to go away. I will never understand this move. From a basketball perspective, if this is how he wants to retire and just, you know, start the next chapter of his life, cool. But this will never make sense to me.
Nope.
It didn't then, it doesn't now. How you could choose LA over us, And this isn't even me being bitter, by the way. This is not me saying, like, oh, you should came here. I don't care, because I think we're better without him.
I agree.
Not that we're, like, we would be in a worse situation if we had LeBron, but I just think, like, the headache overall, and all that he brings, like, Brett Brown, like, we have an article. We already have an article every other week about his, like, status and whether he should be a coach or not. Yeah, like, it would just be a mess. And we know the LeBron playbook with trading guys and whatever. He has his guys.
Me, personally, I think if LeBron would have come here, there would have been one of those weird trades for, like, Kawhi, where Embiid's now in San Antonio.
Probably. Probably. I just wanted to bring up the Knicks thing, though, because I think it's hilarious that we got slammed for years, and I saw a clip of Michael Wilbon saying that the process lasted eight years. And that's just not true.
He's such a bum. He's such a Philly hater, too.
Yeah, I don't get it.
And he's a Chicago guy. Like,
which is hilarious.
What has Chicago done?
Apparently Manny Machado. Who knows?
Yeah.
If you believe some sources. But, you know, it's just funny. Like, and someone brought up the Embiid graphic that they put up of how many tweets he's had versus minutes played. I think that'd be hilarious to throw back at ESPN. Mm-hmm. This is probably me being bitter, but I just think it's annoying that we got slammed for tanking, yet there's teams that have been...
And that's because we're Philadelphia, too.
I don't even think it's that. Like, I just think it's like... People are okay with teams being just woefully incompetent, but the minute you game the system and say, well, like, why don't we just lose for a few years and just do our best to get as many assets and build that way? Even though the Knicks have been doing this entire... They were good for 1.5 years, this decade. One of the most poorly run and managed franchises. They have not had a rookie get a second contract in, like, 20 years.
How?
You have to seriously try... to be that stupid and bad. But yet the Sixers were like an abomination, and apparently that Kentucky team could have beaten us, which was stupid. I hate when those debates... Ugh. I'm glad those have died off. Could Alabama beat the Browns? Like, God,
you have beat the Knicks?
You have to, like, your diet has to maintain of chalk and glue to think that that's a possibility. That a college team could ever hang with a professional team. On any given... Even the best college teams of all time, when they say it's basketball, maybe three of those guys are NBA-level athletes, and there's no guarantee that even one of them is a borderline all-star. On any given NBA team, you have guaranteed 10 NBA athletes, and then maybe some rather borderline guys, but those guys are still bright. Like, it just never made sense to me. Absolutely stupid. I don't know. That went off on a tangent, but...
Well, we're
that's my catharsis over the Boston loss. Exactly. I hope we slap the Knicks. I hate the Knicks.
Same.
And I hope they're not good.
Ever.
I hope they maxed Marcus Cousins this summer. That'd be like my...
I hope they miss out on Zion too. Somehow.
I kind of hope Zion goes to like somewhere like Atlanta. I think that'd be fun. Because I don't really hate Atlanta.
Him and John Collins.
Trey Young would be fun. They gave it to the Lakers. Which is hilarious again. I love watching the Lakers lose.
Great. Pitchers and catchers, day one in the books.
Yes.
As of today, friend of the show, Cole Irvin, was featured in the Phil's recap video.
Making it big time.
Fighting for that number five starter spot. But, you know, JT Realmuto had his press conference yesterday. He literally drove from Oklahoma City to Clearwater the day of the trade. They had their stuff packed up and ready to go, and just wasn't sure if he was going to be driving to Clearwater or to Arizona, and they drove 17 hours straight to get to Clearwater. So that just shows your dedication.
I'll say this, though. If my job was also paying me millions of dollars, I think I could rough it. And I'm sure it is a very nice car, too. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. I did not know that. Good for him. I'm assuming, too, that he's going to have to make a lot of arrangements to move to, like, Philly as well. So,
and then...
God bless him.
Switching his number up, obviously, because nobody's going to wear Jimmy Rollins' number for quite some time, if ever again. So he's wearing number 10, most famously worn by Darren Dalton, former great Phillies catcher, so that's pretty cool to see. And he said that he had the choice between 10, 38, and 39, and they asked if there was any reason behind him picking 10. He was like, because I liked it better than 38 and 39. And then I also thought it was interesting that last year JT and Rhys Hoskins were in the Japan series. The MLB kind of just caravaned over there. And apparently Rhys was telling JT, you know, hey, it'd be pretty cool if you were playing in Philly. You know, Philly's a fun place to play. Be real fun if we were teammates.
Secret agent Rhys. I love it. Like Rhys, you know, like, who else Rhys is very good friends with is one Mr. Bryce Harper.
And you know who else is? JT Realmuto.
Oh, weird. That's strange, isn't it?
I wish that would just happen already, because it's also laughable that the San Francisco Giants thought they could get in.
I'm just proposing we don't even mention it, because like
that's our
here's your update. Here's your update. Nothing happens.
I just thought it was hilarious that the San Francisco Giants thought they could get cute and offer a short-term contract, and then a stadium comes out and they're like, here's the projected wins for the Giants without Harper. It's 74. Here's the projected wins with Harper. 78. You're not even a 500 ball club if you add Bryce Harper. Just stop. Stop. But I'm guessing that Rawlings is now to the White Sox as MLB The Show is to the Phillies, because they tweeted out pictures of Manny Machado's gloves that he's going to be using this year, mm-hmm. and they are black and white.
Yeah,
Manny put on his Instagram story picture of some baby shoes that are belonging to his brother-in-law, Yonder Alonso, but it's looking like Manny Machado's going to the Chicago White Sox.
Honestly, if he wasn't coming here, I'm happy for him to go there. Pretty much anywhere but the Yankees. Is my anywhere? I should caveat anywhere but the Yankees and in our division.
Yeah,
that's.
I also saw a fun tweet that hat tips to how this free agency has gone. Manny has been a free agent longer than he's been a Dodger.
Yeah, I saw that as well. And someone said if he takes any longer, it'll be longer than when he was an Oriole too. And that is honestly ridiculous. If you really think about it, just how long this process has dragged on, it's exhausting. And I think it's exhausting because we've talked about it too, I think, quite a bit. It's just... Next.
I just want it to be done.
Next. I'm happy to have, like, baseball news that isn't...
Yeah, and I'm happy, like, baseball is, like, back now.
It's back in the air.
Our good friend Graham Foley, who used to work for the Eagles and he goes to Temple, tweeted something out, too, about the Vegas odds right now for the World Series that I thought was also insanely interesting. It involves our Phillies, too. So this was from Bob Nightingale. The Yankees, as spring training opens, are the World Series favorites per BetOnline_AG at 6-1 favorites, followed by the Red Sox at 7-1, the Astros at 7-1, the Dodgers at 9-1, and then the Phillies at 10-1. So Bryce Harper hasn't even, or Manny Machado hasn't even signed, and the Phillies have the second best odds to win the National League, or to win the World Series in the National League, right behind the Dodgers. I mean, we've gotten significantly better, for sure.
Yeah, I do think us being that high of favorites seems a little wrong to me. I don't know.
It also sounds like, Vegas is...
Vegas knows.
Yeah. Implying that something...
Hey, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Maybe he'll propose to us or something.
It was reported this week that he could make his decision this week.
I think we've heard that like every week since January.
But the weird thing is, all of those other times, it was like disputed, put down, nothing. This one comes out, and we haven't heard anything to
Bryce. I'm off work tomorrow, so yeah. If you want to do it, I got nothing to do all day. I'll pick you up at the airport. We can do whatever you want.
We'll hang out with John Clark. And
I have reservations at a really nice Mexican restaurant here tomorrow. You can join me, my girlfriend. I promise. I don't think she'd mind. We can chop it up about whatever you want. Dinner's on me. I know you're the big guy now at the big contract, but dinner's on me, I promise. You can order whatever you want. They make the guacamole right at the table for you. You can put in whatever you want or don't like. You can bring your tequila with you, and they make margaritas in-house. Bryce, I mean, I don't know if you're going to get a better offer anywhere else. I think you just signed the thing now.
He's also been posting videos on his Instagram in the hoodie that he's wearing on the MLB The Show.
It's all branded.
Just kind of working out in his garage, just hitting off the tee and everything. So, I mean, if you want to go down to Florida and start hitting, go right ahead. Feel free. like Matt said, do it tomorrow. Let's make it happen. It also came out today that Jake Arrieta had surgery on his knee to just clear up some bone spurs that he had, and maybe that attributed to why he didn't have that great of a season.
Bone spurs just sound awful to
me.
They
do. I don't know. But he's expected to be ready for opening day. So
nice.
That's good. Hopefully Jake bounces back.
Arrieta didn't have a great year, but I still think even then, important signing, just because I think of the what you would call a quote-unquote statement signing, yeah. You know. Go out, get a guy like that. Shows your intent is to win, that you're sort of out of the abyss. So, yeah, and I don't think he quite lived up to the expectations mm-hmm. and the contract, but, yeah, we hope he makes a bounce back year, and it's not out of the question for sure.
And now he's throwing a JT Realmuto, has Gene Segura behind him instead of JP Crawford / Scott Kingery.
It didn't help that our infield was pretty atrocious. Garbage defensively last year. So.
And then apparently Michael Franco has come into spring training looking like half the human he was, lost a ton of weight according to a whole bunch of people. And Scott Kingery looks like he hit the weight room because he looks swole as can be. And it's being kind of reported that they're going to kind of battle for third base time.
I love a good competition, baby. That's what you need.
We'll see how that pans out. But everybody's there. Gene Segura is there. We still haven't had a Gene Segura introductory conference.
I think at this point it's just we're not getting one. I don't know.
Not him or David Robertson. So they're there. I don't know if it'll happen like once everybody's there. I guess it's just because it's pitchers and catchers and it's not officially like full squad workouts. But a ton of the guys are down there. Reese is down there. Odubel's down there. Odubel looks fantastic.
When does spring training, like, I'm sorry, like spring training baseball start, I should say.
I want to say.
It's like second week of March?
The first game is, let me see, February 22nd.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, it's like next week.
Yeah, against Tampa Bay.
Why did I think it started later? I may be thinking that March Madness, honestly. Yeah. That might be where I'm getting mixed up.
Yeah, first game is against Tampa Bay next Friday.
If you're looking for something to do, there it is.
All the games kick in all the way through, and then the first game is March 28th.
Month and a half away at this point. So, sign to Tink.
Just do the damn thing.
Let's get Bryce Harper in here, please.
Let's get it going, rocking and rolling.
For my sanity.
But very excited that baseball's back, hence my attire today.
Yeah, I'm in all black, mourning the Sixers' losses.
Makes sense. You know, and then the Sixers lose, but the Flyers somehow find a way and have a miraculous comeback.
Yin and yang, as they say.
Against another Minnesota team. So put that in the vault with the Minnesota wins. As they come back from a 3-goal deficit, beat the Wild, and your brother's Twitter rants never fail.
Did you see Zach Parise, actually? His first tweet was they wore Joe Mauer warm-up jerseys. Those were actually really nice.
Yeah.
I would like be interested in like buying one of those.
Those were pretty cool,
not for sale, but
they beat the Wild, and then the Lincoln Financial Field's getting the turnover for the Stadium Series next week, which will be fun. We're planning some things with our friends Brooke and Alex from the Daily Puck and of Underground Sports Philadelphia for that. So keep your eyes peeled, but should be fun.
Stadium Series is awesome, dude.
It's always a good time.
That's one of the best ideas the NHL. Of course, they've taken it to a little bit of an extreme because it used to just be the Winter Classic on New Year's Day. But I think that's it's a really cool thing.
Yeah.
And I obviously too, since the Flyers get to play in it semi regularly, makes it even cooler. I think it's a cool event,
and it's against the Penguins.
Let's hope
hopefully
it goes.
Hopefully those refs aren't the same refs. So
Malkin only got one game. One game suspension?
Yeah. What a bum. And then hopefully, you know, some goals will count and no whistles get blown. But one final bit of news before we have our
Go Flyers, baby.
Little segment there that we planned, that we teased on Twitter. Joe Flacco gets traded, air quotes, to Denver today. It can't be official until the new league year starts, which is really late this year. Normally, the league year starts like March 1st or March 7th. It's March 13th this year. So that deal can't be official. And then the Broncos put out a weird article, and it's like, here's a recap on the media coverage of the Broncos allegedly acquiring Joe Flacco in a trade, because they can't technically come out and say it, but they're trading a fourth-round pick for Joe Flacco, which I also thought was funny that as soon as they did that, their Vegas odds to win the Super Bowl went from 100-1 to 125-1. So that kind of tells you the story on Joe Flacco in 2019. But
I don't get this move for Denver.
Me either, especially after they signed Case Keenum last year.
Truly mystifying because it's like, did you listen? I'm not going to pretend like I'm some football savant, but I watch Red Zone. I see the interceptions. I know what happens.
And here's the best part of this whole thing. A Pro Football Talk article comes out and says, Case Keenum could be in the cards for the Vikings if they can find a spot for their current starter. You love to see it.
Just an all-time goof by the Vikings, man. They paid him more. They paid Kirk Cousins more than they would have.
All guaranteed.
Unbelievable. Kirk Cousins securing the bag. Good for you, pal.
Q Ryan's famous Twitter meme. I love this game. Because I just love it. I love seeing it. And then the other bit of Vikings and Eagles news today is that potentially the Eagles could be going to Minnesota on Thanksgiving to play the Vikings this year, which would be beautiful.
Yeah, you know, it's just like you want to have like a competitive game on Thanksgiving. That's the only thing you don't really want to have. You don't want to be.
I also find it interesting because this is the NFL's 100th year. They're really thinking about changing because
player safety? Oh.
the typical opening
making
game,
sure the people that are retired like have adequate health care. Is that what you're gonna,
they're just talking about playing Bears and Packers for opening night because it's the longest running NFL rivalry in the 100 years of the NFL. So
like educating like their players about CTE and the dangers of having concussions. Exactly. And that there's a study that came out, if you even just play 1 year of high school football, your brain is irreversibly damaged. Just the Bears-Packers thing. All right.
Shout out Roger Goodell.
A lot of issues for the NFL. Kareem Hunt. I didn't think we had to talk about Kareem Hunt. Is in
back
LA.
In Cleveland where the whole incident went down.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That is not a good look in many ways.
Oh, my God.
What are they called? The dog pound?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Not a great nickname.
No, especially now. I don't get that move either because you have Nick Chubb. You have Duke Johnson. What's the point?
I'm assuming Duke Johnson might be
Howie
out of here. Howie? Yeah, I mean, maybe they're just going for, you know, what he had in Kansas City with a pretty loaded backfield. And I do think having two – I think Chubb differs from Kareem in a little bit of different ways. And I think Kareem is actually the better Duke Johnson. Duke Johnson's like him, Kareem Hunt light. So, I think you're making a clear upgrade there. And
obviously, there's the connection in the front office because the Browns GM used to be Kansas City's GM. So,
yeah.
His little statement didn't do much justice to the signing either.
It was, you know, what strikes me about it too is he understands what he did wrong. Was like, yeah, I hope he does. Yeah. Like
just a little bit.
That's like the bare minimum. I don't know. Listen, at this point, like if you still are unsure about where you stand on this, then I don't know. Yeah. Like,
from a football perspective, it's interesting though because you have Kareem Hunt, and Baker Mayfield now. Along with Jarvis Landry, so we'll see how that rolls out. But we'll see how this Flacco thing affects Nick Foles.
Did we even mention
Brown?
Antonio Brown calling, declaring bankruptcy on the Steelers.
Antonio Brown just laying it all out there after he fails to appear in court for a traffic violation for speeding. And allegedly...
How fast was he going, did you know?
I can pull
it bad?
Up. Let me see.
Just slow down, man. That's not hard.
Just trying to get out of Pittsburgh, man.
You probably have a nice enough car that you could just throw in cruise control. That was interesting to me, though, is that he's essentially worming his way out as best as he can. When you put it in the group chat, I thought that he actually did get cut, but it's Obviously, a little more complicated than that.
He was speeding in a 45 mile per hour zone, but the fine was $426.77. So
that's like I'd assume he sneezes and makes that much money.
I'd assume he was going quite fast for that to be the fine.
Yeah.
There's a whole picture of the document too, which
is that's quite a hefty.
Doesn't say.
Don't speed, kids. You know, that's really the moral of this story. For him, he can pay that easy, but 426, that is not cheap to the average person.
And then he failed to appear in court, so then he was found guilty, and then he has the whole thing where he allegedly pushed his baby mama.
Oh, I did not hear about that. Wait, what's that? NFL players being involved in domestic violence? Not making that very public? Oh, that's interesting. It's like, you know, like that gif of like the guy in like, I think he's wearing like Nazi like costume. He's saying, "Are we the baddies?"
Yeah.
I think that a lot when I watch the NFL. It's like, by watching this, am I supporting bad people? Am I making objectively bad human beings? Or not everyone in the NFL is bad. I don't want to paint with a broad stroke here, but there are also quite a few bad people in the NFL.
Yeah. So according to the report, the mother of Antonio Brown's child, Mrs. Jackson, per the report, the child's name. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Came to Brown's residence seeking money as reimbursement for the child's haircut. Yelling ensued with Jackson demanding money from Brown. Brown eventually opening the door to the house and Jackson positioning herself so Brown couldn't shut his front door. Brown, per the report, told Jackson to leave. Jackson then told the child to go get the money from Brown's room. Jackson then claims Brown used both hands to push her out of the doorway, causing Jackson to fall back to the ground. Jackson claims her wrist hurt and she was scraped from Brown pushing her. The only other witness to the incident was the child.
Hmm. I mean, just like, I don't get it, man. How hard is it to just be a normal good person? I don't know. You really have to be a good person. Just be like a morally good, like, okay person. Yeah. Just an average. You don't have to be like feeding starving children every day of your life. You know, you don't have to be J.J. Watt and Chris
Carson Wentz.
Yeah, like, you don't have to be doing all that, but, you know, like, is it too much to ask? Just
relax.
Not push the mother of your child.
Take your kid's haircut.
Yeah, I don't know. Stay out of trouble, and don't speed, and don't push your baby mama.
So we'll see what happens with Antonio Brown, because he's still under contract, too, so the Steelers could just pull a Le'Veon Bell 2.0 and not trade him, and we have that saga go on again. What a talk about poorly run organizations. Pittsburgh Steelers are slowly climbing their way up that ladder too.
I think they'll find a way back in.
So there's that. We'll see how the whole Flacco thing affects Nick Foles. But final segment here that I wanted to take note of was this photo that's kind of resurfaced itself on Twitter of, you know, some Philadelphia athletes that are all-time greats. And they're just in front of the art museum, and it's Dr. J, Ron Jaworski, Tug McGraw, and I believe Ron Hextall. So, Joe Giglio did this on his show on WIP, and I thought it was pretty interesting. So, if you could recreate this photo with the athletes now, or just anybody in the city involved with those teams now, who would it be?
So essentially just picking an athlete from each team. Sixers.
Because it doesn't necessarily have to be an athlete because
people
went off the board and did some different things for different teams. But
I'm going to go chalk. I'm going to do athlete. I think Sixers. I think if you're not picking Embiid, what are you doing? He's awesome and charismatic. He's a beautiful human being. And he would dwarf everyone in the picture, which would make for an interesting picture as well. I think Philly's, it's between Reese and Nola. I think Reese is probably a little more visible. I think someone that'll kind of, but Philly loves their pitchers. I think pitchers do become.
Which we'll get into after this, because that totally blanked my mind, too. Aaron Nola signed his extension today.
Let's just do it now.
Yeah.
Aaron Nola.
So he gets locked up.
Team friendly.
4 years, $45 million with a team option for the fifth year. Locks him up through his arbitration years. It's a beautiful contract for the team.
He just must love living here.
And
it must have been the French Quarter that did it for him.
The breakdown of the contract makes sense because it's close to what he would have gotten in those arbitration years too. So a lot of people are like, oh, he got raked over, you know. But I mean, he's set up to get his huge contract once that's done. And it kind of buys out.
It's not like
out.
He's, you know, getting pennies now either. Yeah. $4 million contract is pretty good deal.
And, you know, he's set up to get another long-term contract. It also buys out two of his free agent years, too. So that's huge. And now you have more money to spend on other positions. So I think that's a huge get for the Phillies to kind of just lock him up, not have to worry about that. Get Reese done before the season starts. And I think you're rocking and rolling with a very nice core for the next 4 to 5 years.
Absolutely. So I think I would choose. I think we go Reese actually. I think we go Reese as my Philly. I think he's a little more visible. I think you go to a Phillies game now, the majority is a Hoskins jersey, especially like the kids love Hoskins. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think he's got the Reese Lightning thing going for him. The Flyers. This is a difficult pick. It's really between Drew and Carter Hart for me. And I think it would have to be Drew simply because he's given, I think, more to Philadelphia than Carter Hart has. I think in 5 years, you might be saying Carter Hart. Yeah. But I think it's got to be Drew. I think he's the best player on the team. He has been for this entire decade. Yeah. And the Eagles is difficult as well. Eagles, I saved the Eagles for last just because I thought that this would be the toughest one. And I think I would go with... I think I'd have to go with Nick Foles, man. Just be like... Dude won the Super Bowl. He'll always be a legend here. Like, you look at those guys in this picture, like... Dr. J, because guess what? Dude won a championship here. That's really it. Yeah.
Won a championship.
That elevates you above everyone else.
The other two went to championships.
Yeah. Couldn't get over the line.
I think, obviously, Sixers, I'm going Embiid.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of people picking Ben Simmons, too. I just think Embiid's just the more polarizing, like, in your face, like, I'm the face of the franchise.
He literally
type guy.
Said, this is my city.
Yeah. It was beautiful. Phillies, I'm going. That's another toss-up where you could go either Nola or Reese. I think I'll go Aaron Nola just to give the opposite because I think he really caught on last year. I've been an Aaron Nola fan since he was drafted, but he really kind of had the city gravitate towards him last year. And
it's really his
he
best
was must-see
season,
TV.
You know? It was like his breakout year, you know, really.
Every day that he pitched, you were watching the Phillies play because it was a chance to win, especially when he outdueled Max Scherzer late in the season. Flyers, I agree with your Drew. I was thinking Carter Hart, but I agree with Drew right now just because, you know, he's still the man. Like, he's the face of this team. And like you said, in like 5 years, Carter Hart, it'll most likely be him, but I'll go Drew as well. And then the Eagles, I'm torn between Carson Wentz and Malcolm Jenkins.
I was actually going to go like Malcolm Jenkins or like even like someone like Fletcher Cox or even Chris Long, like I felt like has really endeared himself here. And I think that's someone that, like, if you could buy stock in player like affection, I would be buying Chris Long stock.
Definitely.
Already I think it's risen, but I think in like 5-10 years, like, that's going to be someone that people really love and appreciate. In Philly, so yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with either of those.
I think just to be different from everybody picking Carson, I will go Malcolm Jenkins because he's arguably the best free agent signing the Eagles have had ever, and he's the captain of this team for a reason. And I think, you know, when you think of the Eagles and you think of the swagger that they have and, you know, the whole championship run and just since he's gotten here, it's been Malcolm Jenkins kind of just below the radar, kind of just running this team. So I'll go Drew, Malcolm Jenkins, Aaron Nola, and Joel Embiid.
I had to react there because Embiid just tried alley-ooping it himself off the backboard. He got fouled in the process.
I see what you did there. But yeah, and then we got the All-Star game this weekend.
Yeah, Sunday night.
So does Ben Simmons attempt a three in the All-Star game?
No, because I think they take the All-Star game a little more seriously now, you know? It's not as... There's still obviously, like, fun mm-hmm. and, you know, like, the second and third quarter, they don't play as hard. But there's still room for a little bit of, you know, just kind of jazzing it up. I don't think he puts a three in there. I think we'll see him some great dunks and transition yeah. stuff, but I think that's what he'll want to showcase.
Does Embiid win the MVP?
That's something I honestly have not thought much about. I think it'll be hard for him to win the MVP simply because I think wing guys will like already sort of have the narrative. Like you look at like the MVP odds now, it's mm-hmm. guys like Giannis and Paul George, and not that that's undeserved either, but I think those will be the guys if I had to put money on anything that, you know, which I believe you can bet on. It is possible. So yeah, it's not out of the question,
yeah.
but I would not bet on it or put any kind of stake on him winning.
And then do we want to save these for Saturday, the dunk contest and the three-point contest?
No, let's roll through now. All right.
Who wins the dunk contest between, for those of you that don't know who's participating, it's Miles Bridges from the Hornets, John Collins from the Hawks, Hamidou Diallo from the Thunder, and Dennis Smith Jr. now from the Knicks.
Dennis Smith Jr. is going to be the overwhelming pick, I think, because he's shown the most bounce in his career. I would say don't sleep on Diallo. And even Bridges, man, can get up there. That's going to be a fun dunk contest. I like when it's the young guys. People were saying, though, and I agree with this, it'd be fun to see Ben Simmons and Jason Tatum in the dunk
that
contest.
Would be fun.
They both kind of went like dunk for dunk last night, which is pretty entertaining. Yeah, that's a toss. It's going to be a fun one, though, I think.
I'm not sleeping on John Collins. I think he's kind of just like chilling there, and everybody's just like pushing him to the side, but... I mean, he can play.
Dunk contest is very hard to predict. Really pick.
And then we got the three-point contest. Devin Booker, Seth Curry, Steph Curry, Danny Green, Joe Harris, Buddy Hield, Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton, Dirk, and Kemba Walker.
I think Dirk winning this would be great.
Oh, my God. I would die.
I have a feeling about Damian Lillard, though. I feel like he's in there. I don't know.
I have a weird gravitation towards Buddy Hield, so.
It's usually not the guy you expect.
Yeah.
Like, normally, people will probably be betting, like, Stephen Curry and saying, like, that's the guy or even Devin Booker,
yeah.
but it's typically, like, it's just not those guys. I can't even remember who won last year, though, to be honest. These things are all sort of, they'll sort of come and go to me, but.
It was Klay Thompson. Or no. Devin Booker,
yeah.
Klay won in 2016.
Yeah.
So we'll see. How many people put bets on this and accidentally bet Seth Curry over Steph Curry is the real question. That's the real bet you need to place. But yeah, that happens. Both of these are Saturday night, so that'll be fun. It's always fun. A lot of people say it's gotten lame over the years just because the stars don't play, but you get to see other faces, and I think it'll be good. Cool.
I think the Rising Stars Challenge is a lot of fun. They still have the skills competition as well.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think like every All-Star weekend, I don't know. Like I feel like people complain sometimes just to complain, and they're not actually like giving any criticism. I don't know what, like, mm-hmm. if you're going to complain about the All-Star weekend, like, what would you do differently then? Be constructive,
exactly.
I think. You know, because I think the NBA especially is definitely willing to alt. I mean, they listened with having the captains and, you know, not having East and West anymore.
Doing a live draft.
Yeah, and doing a live draft. Like, those things, like, I think if you're vocal about it and you
don't listen.
Yeah, and even the NHL listened. They mm-hmm. had the three-man team, so I don't know. Who do we got in the skills challenge?
So the skills challenge is Mike Conley, Luka Doncic, De'Aaron Fox, the Joker, Nikola Jokic, Kyle Kuzma, Jason Tatum, Nick Vucevic, former Sixer, and Trae Young.
I like Kyle Kuzma in this, I think.
I'm intrigued by Vucevic just because he's a big.
I remember Cat won a few years ago. But I think that's when they did bigs for, I don't know if they're the format, they did bigs versus bigs to start, but
so that'll be interesting. I'm more intrigued by Vucevic than Jokic, because Jokic is just a freak athlete.
Yeah. And
I saw something yesterday, it might have been, he's got more triple doubles this year than dunks.
He's an unbelievable guy.
Obviously Doncic is going to be fun to watch in this. Mike Conley's interesting, though, just because he's like the old head of the group, and he could put on a
composed
show. Yeah. I think it's a good group, though, and
yeah,
it'll be fun to watch that, too. So, Rising Stars will be fun, and
Celebrity Games Friday. I'm not even sure who's in that. Is Bieber making another appearance?
Let's see.
I think of all the All-Star Weekends, I think the NBA is still the best. I think the NFL and the Pro Bowl stuff is well below.
Terrible.
The thing with the NFL stuff is I never know where to watch it.
Yeah,
I would watch them play dodgeball. Like that interests me. I have no clue what channel that is on.
Yeah, it's.
I'm assuming ESPN, but
either that or the NFL Network.
I have no idea what channel that's on.
So the celebrity roster is Mike Coulter, who plays Luke Cage on Netflix, that is now canceled. And
Chris Daughtry, Dr. Oz is playing the celebrity game.
J.B. Smoove, Steve Smith, former Panthers wide receiver. Aja Wilson, who is the WNBA Rookie of the Year. Jay Williams, the ESPN college basketball analyst. And then the hometown heroes, Jason Weinman, Rhapsody.
Ronnie 2K.
Ray Allen is going to be in it on the away team. Bad Bunny, A.J. Buckley, Stephanie Dolson, Quavo. That'll be fun.
He can play. He played, right? Yeah.
Brad Williams. So he's pretty funny, actually, so that'll be funny if they mic him up. It's a decent group.
It's
lacking a little bit.
Yeah, there's no, like, big, like, kind of A-lister there, but probably better depth-wise. I miss when they did the, because I see they had the WNBA player in there. I miss when they did the WNBA player with the legend with a current player. Like, I forget what they called it, but they did the half court shot, the 3-point shot, the like a layup, I think, or a free throw. I thought that was always cool.
And this is the first time that they're featuring a hometown hero on each roster. That's pretty cool.
I think it's a nice addition. Make it, you know, a little more special and unique to the city outside of some lame jersey nonsense that they
made
up.
The home team is featuring celebrities from Carolina too. So that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Trying to see who the coaches are, because they said that the coaches were on this too. But it's an okay group. Dr. Oz will be funny to watch. I wonder if he whips out the short shorts and plays it like it's 1983.
My hot take is I actually think short shorts look cooler. Yeah. I don't know. I think those look pretty interesting. I wouldn't mind seeing that, like, now. I don't know. That's my take.
Yeah.
Not everyone agrees. That's fine.
So we'll see how that rocks and rolls, but
Sixers are not pulling away from the Knicks, which is just great.
Don't like to see that. 40-38 as we get ready to sign off early second quarter. But I think that's gonna do it for this episode of Underground Sports Philadelphia, episode number 106, brought to you by Main Auto LLC, Huffman Farms and Greenhouses, Ducharme's Pro Foot, Security 21, Wainwright Bernhardt Funeral Home, and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated. We'll be back with you on Saturday. Got a loaded Saturday for you. Got Wings practice in the morning, Saturday show, Wings post game right after. So Saturday will be a fun one. If you haven't already, make sure you check out our first NFL draft podcast that Mikey and the newest addition to the team, Andrew Helfman, recorded. It's a very good listen. They did a really good job with it, so make sure you check that out, and we will catch you guys live again on Saturday, and we'll have another Outside the Box coming to you tomorrow, so stay tuned. But for everybody here at Underground Sports Philadelphia, for Matt, I'm Kyle. We are signing off. Peace.
Put it down, big fella.